Please turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This morning we're going to read the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. And in doing so, we will be looking and thinking about the topic, it's time to trust in the Lord and not to fret. Do we have any fretters with us today? Well, you define fret and I'll tell you whether I'm one or not, right? To fret means don't let it get under your skin. And when it does get under your skin, don't lose it. Any of you lost it this week? Gotten so angry for whatever reason? And we just lose it. That's what fret means. And it's a very strong word. It's a very strong verb. It really means to go nuts. And God says, don't do that. Instead of fretting, he says, be still. Be still. Now, what does it mean to be still? It means to rest in the Lord. To rest in the Lord. So let's look at this passage of Scripture this morning as we look at our own hearts before God. Evaluate the attitudes of our own hearts and our own minds. Am I fretting or am I resting? Well, let's pray before we study this psalm. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we love you because you have first loved us and you've demonstrated your love to us by sending your only begotten Son into the world to die for the sin of your people and to raise him from the dead. And he ascended into heaven and is seated at your right hand where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And through him and him alone, we're free from the bondage of sin and death. We're spiritually alive in Christ and you live in us by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, as we come to worship you now through the reading and teaching of your word, may we focus our hearts and minds on you and your word. As your Holy Spirit would give us instruction from your word for the need that we have not to fret, but to rest. Oh Lord, may your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged as we continue to worship you and how we pray. Also for those here today who don't have Jesus as their Savior, oh, that you would open their hearts and minds. Show them your grace and your love and your mercy and forgiveness in Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I was meditating last night on this psalm and this morning, instead of looking at the first 11 verses, there's one verse in here that the Holy Spirit just really, really put upon my heart. And it's verse 7. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. You know, sometimes we lose focus. We get so upset, and understandably so, of the person that gets away with everything. Y'all ever get away with anything? I remember as a freshman in high school sitting in English class, and the teacher was busy at her desk, and every now and then a wad of paper would go up from the students. I'm sitting there looking around. Seems like everybody's throwing paper but me. So I got me a piece of paper and I wadded it up. And the teacher was just like that. And I go, whoosh, and just as I went, whoosh, she looks up. Why are you throwing all this paper? You know, some of us can't get away with anything. And then there are others who get away with everything. And it's those folks that drive us nuts, that causes us to fret, to get under our skin. And we're just told in Scripture, don't let them do that to you. They're getting away with it momentarily. But as we read through this psalm, it's clearly that those who do that, they will be cut off. They will spend an eternity in hell as objects of God's wrath because they don't have Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the truth of Scripture. But in the meantime, how is it that you and I can cope living in a world that gives us every reason 24/7 to fret? How can we do this? The answer is in verse 7. So let's look at this word. First of all, it says to be still before the Lord. Be still. The verb be still actually means to rest in the Lord. Spurgeon, I'm going to give you a quote about that Spurgeon said about this word rest. It's just awesome. Listen to this very carefully. To hush the spirit. To hush the spirit. To be silent before the Lord. To wait in holy patience the time for clearing up the difficulties of providence. This is what every gracious heart should aim at. Think about that. To hush the spirit, to be silent before the Lord, to wait in holy patience the time for clearing up the difficulties of providence. This is what every gracious heart should aim at. So when we're talking about to be still, we're talking about resting in the Lord. Spiritually resting in the Lord. And he goes on to say, be still before the Lord. Before. The word before in the Hebrew, in this context, and what it has many, many definitions, but in this context, it means it's good for you. It's good for you and me to rest in the Lord and not to be fretting. Because when we're fretting, our minds start thinking of ways to get even and to get back and to condemn and to judge. But when we're resting in the Lord, we're focused on Him and looking to Him for the ability to be long-suffering with those who are driving us absolutely crazy. But we have to rest in the Lord. Before the Lord, and look at the name Lord, it's Yahweh. It's Yahweh, the immutable God. He never changes in His being and in His relationship with His people. He's always there. Always there. How can I be still? How can I rest in the Lord? You will recall in Leviticus chapter 10, where the sons of Levi, the two oldest sons of Levi, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire before the Lord. And the Lord consumed them because they offered this strange fire. Moses inquired, and God told Moses, "By those who come near me, I must be sanctified. They must treat me as holy." And when Moses gave this message to Aaron, the father of these two sons, we're told Aaron held his peace. Aaron held his peace. He heard from the Lord, a word from the Lord. And when he heard the word from the Lord, it caused Aaron to hold his peace. How can we hear from the Lord when we're fretting, when we're in turmoil, and our minds are not stayed upon Jehovah? So to be still means to make an effort to rest in the Lord, to be focused on Him, to be listening for Him. That's how we rest in the Lord. We turn to Him and we look to Him. "Help me, Lord. I've had it." Or, "Help me, Lord. I don't know what to do here. I am so upset. I am irritated. I am agitated. Oh, how I want rest. Lord, take this away from me. Take it away." And He will. Rest before the Lord. Now look at the next line. Wait patiently for Him. It doesn't get easier, does it? We're to rest in Him. Now we're told to wait patiently. This verb, wait patiently, is intensive reflexive. It is a powerful verb, to wait patiently for Him. Spurgeon comments, "Time is nothing with the Lord." Think about it. The Lord created time. He's above it. You and I live by time. You know what? I'm not going to wear one of these things in heaven. You won't either. It's going to be so nice. That's just one of the many things. We will be in eternity. And we will be able to wait because we'll be in the very presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we can wait patiently now because at this very moment, because of the Holy Spirit living in the hearts of every one of us who trust in Christ as Savior, we're in the presence of the Lord this very moment. And He's here with us. We've got all this sin that's battling us, yes. But the Holy Spirit enables us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's here right now. And we wait patiently for Him. As we wait patiently, what is it that I can do? There are two passages of Scripture that we need to be mindful of. One is Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day." Being confident. Know this, that He who has begun a good work in you, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He started a work in each of us when He brought conviction of our sin and our need for Christ. And He hasn't stopped working, and He will not stop working. So when we're in an attitude of fretting, we need to realize, why am I fretting? God's showing me I'm not there yet. There's still work to be done. I'm not fret-free. And you're not either. But maybe I don't fret as badly and as long as I used to. So I'm growing spiritually. And so when we're fretting, God's showing us, hey, the reason I'm letting you fret is because you need to work on this. You need to work on this. Or whatever you and I are involved in our hearts and minds before God that's not pleasing to Him, He's showing us what we're really like. And He's saying to us, repent, confess, and I will forgive you for this. But He is working. So being confident of this one thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day. The next verse we find is in chapter 2 of Philippians. And in chapter 2 in verse 12, Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have a responsibility before God to be obedient children as parents, and we're raising our children. We required of them to be obedient. And if they weren't obedient, what did we say? Don't worry about it. It was a suggestion anyway. If any of you said that, I want to meet you after this service. No, what did we do? We applied the Board of Education to the seat of learning, which is not applied very much today, so I will go on. Discipline. God disciplines His people. He disciplines those He loves. And maybe the work that He's applying to us now that is so difficult to deal with is discipline. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now verse 13. This is the interesting verse. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. While we're waiting patiently before Him, He's working in us to change our will. We have any stubborn people here today? Yeah, we all are stubborn. That's one of the sinful situations that we have. We want our own way. We want it our way, when we want it, and all of it. But God changes the desire of our heart. The word will actually speaks to the desire of the heart. And He changes that desire from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. And it takes a while to do that. But while God is working on us, we're to wait patiently for Him. We are not to be fretting about it. Wait patiently for Him. Now, we need to look at this word for again. It's the same word before up in the other sentence. It's good for the individual. Whatever God is doing in us and through us, it's always good for us. And we need to be waiting patiently on Him to work. And then he goes on to say, fret not yourself. Now the word fret there, that verb form is a very strong verb form too. Stop doing that. Well, how am I going to do this? Now we're going to back up to verse 5. Look at verse 5 in chapter 37 of the Psalm. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. The first thing we're supposed to do is commit our way to the Lord. The verb commit there means to roll upon, to give to. It's same as the Greek word in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That verb cast means to roll upon. So we're to commit our way. The word way there means conduct. It means our lifestyle. It means everything that you and I do in our lives, in each day, we roll it to the Lord. Lord, this is the life You've given to me. You've given me talents and abilities to do what I'm doing, and it's to be to your glory. So, Lord, I commit my life to you this day. I pray out of Proverbs, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's a good one to pray. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's committing our way, our lifestyle to the Lord. And then when we do that, we wait patiently for Him and watch Him work. The next thing is trust. The next thing is trust. This word trust is an interesting word here. Two connotations here. First, trusting in the Lord is to have full confidence in the Lord. Do you and I have full and complete confidence in Yahweh? That He truly is sovereign. He will handle everything in my life, and He's very capable of handling everything in my life. Do you and I have that kind of confidence in the Lord? Trusting in Him with everything? With everything? A couple of weeks ago, I went to the barber shop and got my hair styled. You like that? And being the patient individual I was praying as I was going, Lord, when I get there, I want the man coming out of the barber shop. The chair will be empty, and I walk in and get in it. Not a bad request, is it? Lord, you can do this. I pull into the parking lot. There were only two cars. Good sign. A man's coming out of the barbershop. Guess what? I walk in the barbershop and sat down in the chair. How many of you pray for stuff like that? Oh, I don't bother God with the small things like that. You really pray for that? Yeah. I'm to trust God in everything in my life. From getting a haircut to going to the grocery store to driving, everything that you and I do, we're to have the confidence in God that He's going to direct me in it. And then the second connotation there, and this is awesome, folks, to feel secure in God. To feel secure in your faith in Christ. We live in a very insecure world. Very insecure. And yet we can have the peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding because we're in Christ. We can have complete confidence in Him. Total security in Him. If we trust Him. So, we commit our way to the Lord. We trust in Him, and what's the result of it? He will act. He will act. Now, how is He going to act? That's in His responsibility. I don't know. This nation is still in shock as a result of the voting on Tuesday. I mean, everybody's been in shock. But you know what? What's going to happen January the 20th when He takes office? God is still sovereign on January the 20th, just like He was on November 8th. But our trust cannot be in a political ideology. It must be in the true and living God. And we watch Him act. Instead of fretting, we trust. Instead of fretting, we wait patiently on Him. And we watch for God to act. So it's time to stop fretting. In every area of our lives, it's time to stop the fretting. And it's time to wait patiently for God and to watch Him act. And now we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And how do these two come together? Oh, it's so clear,
so clear. It's because that Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself and satisfied the holy and just and righteous condemnation of God. He satisfied that on His own body on our behalf. And He shed His blood. He poured His life out for us. And He was raised from the dead on the third day. And He ascended into heaven. But by the act of that substitutionary atoning death of Christ, you know what? He enabled us by faith in Christ to trust Him. To free us from the worries and cares of this world. To free us from fretting and given us the blessedness of trusting Him. We all want peace. You get peace in Christ. And He provides that for you and for me every day we are alive when we commit our way to Him. So when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's table, Jesus said, "Remember me." Oh, by all means, remember what He did on that cross and dying for our sin and being raised from the dead. And when we hold that bread, it's a symbol of the body of Christ. And we hold that cup of juice, it symbolizes the blood of Christ upon which He shed His blood. He poured out His life. He removed the sin from us as far as the east is from the west when we trust in Christ alone. So we truly can be free of fretting by trusting in Christ. As we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit gave instruction to the Apostle Paul that we're to examine ourselves before we come. And so we need to take time to pray, and the Holy Spirit reveals whatever sin He does to your heart. You confess that sin, repent, and ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you will be forgiven. And so we come cleansed in the blood of Christ to the table, remembering the body and the blood of Christ. All of you who are believers in Christ alone, and you trust in Christ, and you've examined yourself, you worship with us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We're also reminded that the bread, as Hunter and I will be praying and setting aside the bread and setting aside the juice, that the bread is, and the juice is no longer for common purpose, but for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is to remind believers of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. The bread and the juice does not become the body and the blood of Christ. It's a symbol. It helps us to remember. And by the faith that you and I have in Christ, He gives us His grace. And oh, how we need His grace. So I would ask the brothers who are serving the sacrament, the ruling elders, to come forward. And as they come forward, let's pray. Let's pray and examine our hearts and come cleansed in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You that we have the blessed privilege of worshiping You today, and at this particular time, as we've received instruction from Your Word, we come to remember the body and the blood of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've sinned against You. We confess that sin and repent and ask for forgiveness of that sin and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And we're told in Your Word that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, thank You for the forgiveness we have in Christ. May Your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed as we have the sacrament. And I pray for those who do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh Lord, that You will speak to their hearts and bring them to Yourself. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.